on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielo.
Cody, I mean, we thought the mantra, stay tougher for longer, was only a football team mantra, but I mean, our basketball team has it, man. They had an amazing come from behind victory in yesterday's game in Lubbock. They beat the Red Raiders 85-85.
Yeah, this definitely was a part of what was a pretty stacked Saturday slate in college men's college basketball. Obviously, I think you started out the day with, on ESPN at least, Notre Dame and Duke going wire to wire. I mean, Notre Dame at one point, I think, were they tied with Duke? Because I was watching that game, and it always seemed like even if Duke was playing well, even with Cooper Flagg dropping 42 points the whole game, Notre Dame made some runs to make it a closer game than people thought it'd be. But in the end, Duke took care of business at home, and they are clearly the front runner for the ACC. Excuse me. Following that up, obviously, we had your Iowa State Cyclones on the road in Lubbock against Texas Tech. And I think we talked about this the other day. One of the players that we mentioned was JT Toppin. And I mean, JT Toppin, he was basically the offense that, like, that first half, like, was pretty much JT Toppin and the Red Raiders. I mean, they were hitting shots that looked like they weren't going to be good, but, I mean, they were shooting up shots, and just about anything that they put up, it was within a range, it would go in. So it was just kind of difficult for Iowa State to really defend that type of shooting. However, Iowa State was able to turn it around in the second half and eventually get it to overtime, where they were able to squeak out a one-point win, 85-84, thanks to the heroics of Joshua Jefferson, forcing overtime with the layup and then hitting two clutch free throws to win in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, you said it all right there. And I mean, we got to talk about Christian Anderson. Christian Anderson off the bench, the freshman with 18 points. He's actually going to be playing on the German national team in the next Olympics. But he was absolutely phenomenal yesterday. Like you said, JT Toppin. And also, we got to talk about Chance McMillan. Chance McMillan was also a guy for Texas Tech that was, you know, on fire. Elijah Hawkins, we got him in the foul trouble, so luckily he didn't go off. Texas Tech also missed some crucial free throws down the stretch to give us a chance. And I just knew because we were down by 13, I'm like, man, all right. I was thinking, this just might not be our night. And like 7 minutes in, once they were up by like 7 or 8, I'm like, oh, this might be over. I don't know if Iowa State's going to come back from this. But Iowa State keeps fighting, brings it. That we're down 5 points, and we continue to chip away, and we eventually took the lead. Like, this team is resilient. No matter how many points down, we can count on this team to come back and win.
Yeah, we mentioned JT Toppin and Chance McMillan and Elijah Hawk, Christian Anderson, of course, but also Darian Williams had himself a solid day as well for Texas Tech. He was 2 of 3 from 3 and contributing 15 points, and he was able to get some rebounds as well. And Texas Tech, they played a really good game. I mean, they were playing as physical, if not more physical, than Iowa State. They were out-physicaling Iowa State at certain points. I mean, you talk about one of the disparities that I noticed throughout the game was the offensive rebounds. Texas Tech had 16 offensive rebounds to 9 for Iowa State. So Texas Tech were able to get a lot of those second-chance points, and that's ultimately what helped them maintain a lead for most of the game. Now, that is something that teams can exploit against Iowa State, because we have been shown that there's two things that I've noticed that Iowa State can be weak at. If there's two things like you can try to exploit against Iowa State to beat them, is rebounding, getting offensive rebounds against Iowa State, and hitting free throws. Now, what's crazy is we saw both ends of those two things happen in this game. Obviously, the free throw shooting at first for Iowa State was not great. Keyshawn Gilbert was missing free throws. He didn't have a great day at the line. Meanwhile, Texas Tech had guys hitting just about anything and everything at the free throw line. You even had Federico, who Fran Fraschilla and Rich Hollenberg mentioned on the broadcast. He was a 35% free throw shooter in the season, but he went 3 of 4. On that day, and I was like, this is the most Iowa State thing that I have seen. Of course, it's the one guy who is known for not really hitting his free throws, hitting 3 of 4. So I'm like, oh, it's one of these type of games. But it got turned around a little bit in the second half. I mean, Curtis Jones was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. You also had Branson Chatfield getting a few rebounds and had a very important offensive rebound to allow Tame Lissy to take the lead for the first time in the game, 58-55. So once again, Branson Chatfield getting those offensive boards and getting those second chance points.
Yeah, and let's also not forget about Branson Chatfield's huge block when it was 55-50 for us to go in transition and have Milan shoot that big three to get it down to 2 points. So, I mean, he is a huge part of this team. I don't care what anybody says, that dude plays hard. He's definitely a great upgrade to Rob Jones. DeSean Jackson did struggle a little bit yesterday, but he did contribute 8 points. I will say that, like, although we did struggle from the free throw line, the Iowa State went 13 of 15 from the line in the second half, which is what helped them in the second half. Because, like, when you said Federico hit 2 free throws, I'm like, man, if he's making free throws, this is definitely not our night. So, I mean, I can only be encouraged from here, but I mean, with that, yeah, we're gonna have that. That one is good, but we have a very, very tough week next week, Cody. We have KU at home on Wednesday, and then next Saturday we're on the road in Morgantown, a very, very raucous and very rough and tough atmosphere in Morgantown with the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then before we take a look at the week ahead for Iowa State, we mentioned the free throws. You talk about free throws hitting for Iowa State. Texas Tech, they had a chance to put Iowa State away. I mean, you had two guys that were shooting, 90% from the free throw line. There are two instances where those two shooters they split the pair, so they missed the front end of the two shots, and that allowed Iowa State to still be in the game with, 15 or so seconds to go, and it opened the door for Iowa State to obviously tie the game. So you talk about that, having a 90% free throw shooter missing one of their free throws, which could have put the game out of reach for Iowa State for sure.
Right.
So that's what I'm referring, that's what is entailed when I talked about the tale of two halves when it comes to those two things for this game.
Yeah. And I mean, just Joshua Jefferson. I mean, Joshua Jefferson takes this offense to a much higher level than what I thought. Just having, I didn't realize how much having an inside press, having a front court like we do, it makes such a huge difference, and it makes the offense run a lot more smoother, especially even more at times than last year.
Yeah, and now you can actually run inbounds plays inside the paint because you got that big that's capable of scoring instead of being limited and having to push it out to the perimeter.
Right. So you're a lot less guard. Guard focus
and things like that.
But yeah, let's look into Wednesday's matchup.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be probably the biggest game for Iowa State up to this point. You're hosting a top 15 Kansas. Now the rankings are going to change a little bit because tomorrow the AP poll will come out for men's basketball. Both Tyler and I have presumed that Iowa State will be ranked at number 2. As a result of what's happened around college basketball, and then Kansas will probably be in the top 10. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the top 10 tomorrow. So this is projected to be a top 10 matchup. And then obviously with Iowa State being their number 2, that will be the highest rank that Iowa State has ever achieved in men's basketball history. So how about that? Your first game as the AP number 2 team in the country, you get to host a top 10 Kansas. Basically on prime time.
It's going to be much watched basketball. Dickie V, Dan Shulman are going to be there. So the A-Team ESPN broadcast will be there. So it's going to be much watch TV, man. Like, this is good. Like, I think this is probably going to be one of the most interesting Iowa State KU games in probably in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, watching Kansas's game against Cincy, which was a very ugly game for both Kansas and Cincy, Kansas, I don't think, has found their identity on off. Like, they haven't found, like, any rhythm offensively, because it was talked about that Kansas just could not get anything, like, really offensively. Their shooting was just off. I don't know. Like, I feel like obviously Kansas is still going to be Kansas. Like, they're still going to be a contender in the Big 12 and for the national championship. But something about, like, this roster this year and the way they've been playing these games, it doesn't feel like the same Kansas that I've been used to basically under the Bill Self era, because his era at Kansas is basically my entire life. So I have not seen a Kansas team look this horrendous in quite a few years.
Yeah, I honestly think, because I feel like every single time that we've played Kansas in the past, I think it was because they also had very, very good guard play. So usually they had very, very good to elite guard play, but at that position, they really have struggled to find that the past few years. And they have, like, an inside presence, but their guards really aren't that as good as we expect KU guards to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Cincy game, I've just not been impressed, because their offense is not flowing. Like, I don't know if we mentioned it yet on last week, but Kansas really, they could not shoot a three ball to save their life. I mean, they went basically under 10% from the perimeter. I think they went, like, what, either 2 of 21 or 3 of, yeah, 2 of 21.
Yeah, 2 of 21, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, Zeke Mayo was 1 of 6 from the perimeter, and they got nothing from AJ Storr or Ryland Griffin at the perimeter. They only had, that's the thing. The guard play has been very disappointing, but also KJ Adams, it's just, he may have gotten a little bit, but he still, like, is very limited in his game. And I just feel like having him still in the starting lineup, when you have a guy like a Badunga or Storr, I just don't know. Like, it's weird. It's just, I haven't seen much, like, a change from KJ Adams. Like, I thought maybe seeing, like, what, in the early non-con games, but it was an ugly game for Kansas. And I think if Kansas has not figured it out offensively, come Wednesday, they are not going to have a fun time inside of Hilton Coliseum.
Especially if you go on, like, a very long shooting drought. Like, yeah, I don't, like, especially if you can't figure out your offensive issues now, like, 4 games in, like a 20% of the through your conference schedule, I don't even know if they will figure it out, honestly.
Yeah. That's the thing, but I don't ever doubt a Bill Self-led team. They're still going to find a way. They're still going to be dancing in March. They'll find a way to maybe make a run. But right now, yeah, I don't think Kansas is the Kansas that we know that they can be. But more into that game. But, I mean, obviously Wednesday, it will be at 6 p.m. on ESPN. You mentioned the Dickie V going to be there, and this will be a chance for Iowa State to really keep their foot on the gas to give them one step closer to confirming their place as possibly a regular season Big 12 champion. So this is a big test for Iowa State to see if they can step up when it matters the most, because after that that game, that'll be a fun one. So, I mean, what I remember saying is, I might be rambling a little bit, but it's just because there are so many things I want to talk about when it comes to Kansas. But the big one is going to be that students will be back for this game. Now, we mentioned it a couple episodes ago. For the student section, they're going to just do the lower bowl. So they're going to expand the student section to the lower bowl. So normally what you see in games during the school year, you'll see that student section minus the top deck area. So it'll just be the lower bowl. So expect a raucous crowd. And with students being back, I think that's going to give the team an extra boost. And I think Iowa State will keep Kansas at an arm's length away. Probably win the game maybe like by like 8 or 9 points.
I could definitely see Iowa State getting hot, and then, yeah, keeping them between arm's length, not really in danger of losing the game. I can see it somewhere between 7 to 9 points in us winning that game.
Yeah. Oh, I still, do you remember last year? It was Hunter Dickinson on, Jordan Bohannon's podcast. You remember that clip, right?
Yep.
I might honestly dig that up and I'll tweet like that again, because I still want to know to this day, like, Hunter Dickinson, you can admit it now. You're going to split at your visits at Iowa State. Just admit what you had planned for us, because I swear, if he brings out what he said he was going to do last year, this year, it's going to be the funniest thing. It's like, why did bro wait a whole year? And also, you already lost in this building, so it doesn't hit the same.
Right, exactly, bro. So, like, I mean, the defense is going to have something cooked up for him. So, I mean, y'all acting like our defense is nothing, though.
Joshua Jefferson. Wait, no, it would be DeSean Jackson. The matchup, like, would it be DeSean Jackson on Hunter Dickinson?
It probably would be DeSean Jackson on Hunter Dickinson.
And then Joshua Jefferson versus KJ Adams. Joshua Jefferson and KJ Adams, that'll be a fun matchup to watch out for.
Yeah, I'm finally glad that we have the big men to match up with other good big men in this league. So
yeah,
it's gonna be a fun back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do see us winning this one.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then we'll take a look after that game. The Cyclones they'll go over to Morgantown to take on the West Virginia Mountaineers. Javon Small is their leading scorer with 19.4 points per game. And actually, right now, West Virginia is in a 4-point game against Colorado in Boulder. West Virginia is up 61-57 with about 6:43 to go in the second. So probably just gonna live tune that in, because I almost forgot that we have Big 12 games on Sunday, just with all the expansion and things like that. It's been a wash just to see like Big 12 games on Sundays, but that's what expansion does.
Yeah, and like with West Virginia, like with them, they were at, when I last time I saw that score, it was, they must have went cold, because before we started this podcast, the score was 54-43 West Virginia.
Yeah.
So Colorado's on a run right now, so yeah, they better get it together.
Yeah. I'll just be live reacting. Yeah, Julian Hammond just hit 2 free throws, and it's a 2-point game right now.
Boy, here come the Buffs.
Yeah. But while that's happening, West Virginia, 2-1 starting conference. I mean, they're reeling from a ass whooping by Arizona. They lost at home by 20 points. KJ Lewis led the Arizona Wildcats with 21 points in a 75-56 win against the Mountaineers. And clearly it looks like West Virginia, I mean, Javon Small did his part, but he was basically the only contributor for West Virginia. He led the team in that game with 17 points. No one else for the Mountaineers cracked a double digits. Meanwhile, you have KJ Lewis leading the team with 21 points for Arizona. And you also had Jaden Bradley and Anthony Delorso contribute double-digit points. Caleb Love with 9 points as well. And you also got Henny Veersar off the bench with 6 and Carter Bryant with 7. And Arizona played just about everybody. They played basically their whole bench that game. And I guess you have the liberty when you beat a team by 20 points and it was never a game.
Yeah, I mean, they are truly missing Tucker DeVries right now. He is the missing piece for that West Virginia offense. So I mean, they're gonna have to find ways to manufacture points. Obviously they play great defense, but like at some point you're gonna have to score.
Mm-hmm. And looking more at the box score for this Arizona game, points in the paint, West Virginia got dominated, 36-22 in favor of the Arizona Wildcats. And turnovers for West Virginia, 10 turnovers, and Arizona was able to get 15 points off of those turnovers. So those kind of play in favor for Iowa State. Points in the paint and transition points off of turnovers.
Yeah, we thrive off of Iowa State thrives off of points off turnovers. And I mean, and if we can't do that, it will find a way to hold you below your season average in points. So, like, if they can't do one thing, they'll stop you in another. That's one thing I love about Iowa State's defense.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. And, I mean, with people, like, on the defense thing, some people have thought that maybe our defense has taken a bit of a step back. But, I mean, the metrics do say that. But it's also because Iowa State can now, like, maybe relax a little bit and not have to stress defense as much as, like, you remember the first couple years under TJ. Because now we have offensive talent that can produce points on the perimeter and inside the paint. That deep, you don't have to force being in a dogfight where basically if a team gets to like 60 points, then you're pretty much screwed. We can go toe-to-toe with anybody on offense and on defense. So maybe the numbers are down defensively, but Iowa State's still one of the best defensive teams in the country.
Yeah, this is much more of a complete team than the other first 2 years. And even last year, I mean, when you can average like 83 to 86 points a game, like the defense, yeah, of course is going to take a step back, but you're going to be more of a complete team when, especially when you're like top 10, when you're like top 5 in offense, top 10 in defense in KenPom, like, yeah, you can, we'll be able to match up with anybody. We're a matchup nightmare for anyone in this conference.
So I think the thing for the West Virginia matchup is just those points off forced turnovers getting capitalized on points and points in the paint. So I think that's the main thing for West Virginia. And I think if Iowa State goes through this week 2-0, you can for sure start making the case for Iowa State being one of the one seeds for March Madness.
Definitely, man. Like if we go through this week undefeated, we're both 6-0. I mean, then it's just it's like, yeah, because then we're going to be like, okay, Iowa State, once we start checking bracketology, once we get into the month of February, Iowa State's going to be there, and maybe they could possibly move up to be like a number one overall seed and not just a number one seed. And hey, I mean, anything is possible, but like, we still got some tough games coming up. We got that Arizona trip. That one's going to be interesting in a few weeks. So yeah, but this would be great towards moving to that step of trying to be a one seed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, you look at the road ahead. I mentioned the trip to the Arizona schools. You also have to go at Allen Fieldhouse, and then you have to go at the Fertitta Center. So having this 6-0 start can really put you in a great spot to continue instill yourself as like one of the powerhouses of the Big 12 and allow you to get a step closer to getting that regular season title. So with that, I think that would be the preview of the Iowa State games. Now, just going to take a quick recap around the Big 12 for yesterday's slate. We already mentioned the ugly game between Kansas and Cincinnati. That was a 54-40 win for Kansas, with Hunter Dickinson being Kansas's leading scorer at 14 points. You had Houston walk into the octagon of gloom and just put a stomping on the Kansas State Wildcats. Houston won that game 87-57. There was a point where I genuinely thought that Houston was just going to reach 100 points. And obviously, Tyler, you've seen the tweet I put out. So, yeah.
That was so reckless. It was the funniest thing ever. But like,
yeah. If you want to find the tweet that I'm talking about, just go on my Twitter page. You'll know.
I was cracking up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you see that, and then you also look at TCU getting a huge win at home, and BYU continues to struggle. So TCU wins at home 71.
Yeah. Obviously, this isn't going to be the same BYU squad that we ran into last year, but I think it may be a little better because we saw what BYU did last year, obviously in the Big 12, but then what happened to them at the tournament. Maybe it's a good thing. Hopefully, they've learned from that experience in March. And TCU, I honestly didn't know where I would have TCU coming into the year, but it looks like they're doing themselves okay to get a tournament bid. Yeah, just getting some huge wins at home against Kansas State and BYU, and then their losses are to Arizona and Houston, so two of the better top half teams of the Big 12, so not too bad. Hopefully, yeah. If TCU can find some form, they could be in the tournament. There's no doubt. They just got to protect home court and then maybe grab a road win or two here and there.
And Baylor edges out Arizona State in Tempe. Arizona State has been a pesky team all year. They fall to 1-3, but Baylor continues their winning ways, and they improved to 3-1 in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually just listened to Bigger Than 12 on Iowa Everywhere with Jake Brand and Derek Duke. Those guys do a great job breaking down like things that go on within the Big 12. But what they had mentioned was the guard play for Baylor in Jaden Nunn and Jeremy Roach, and they talked about how disappointing it has been for their production, like for what they expected. And I kind of share that sentiment when I heard them talk about them. I'm like, you know. Yeah, Jeremy Roach and Jaden Nunn have not been producing like how I expected them to in the preseason. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. Jaden Nunn and Jeremy Roach I thought were going to be much better coming into this season. And I thought Baylor was going to be – and like Baylor's still, you know, still kicking at 3-1. But I thought they'd be much better in non-con. That's why I was sort of afraid of that matchup when we first – I first thought that we were going to be playing Baylor at home for our home conference open. I'm like, oh boy, it could be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And we made quick work of them. And so Baylor, I think, will be a team that I think gets better throughout the course of the conference season. So I would watch for Baylor to be one of those teams.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Yeah, I have no doubt that Baylor will be a solid team. Like, they're probably finished, like, in the second tier of the – probably finished in the second tier of the Big 12 with the Arizona and probably Texas Tech. So, I mean, that second tier of the Big 12. Because how I'm seeing this Big 12 shape up right now, your upper echelon, like, your top echelon is Iowa State and Houston. And then you can make an argument for Kansas. Like, Kansas will be Kansas. Mm-hmm. They'll find a way to be in that top, like, echelon. And then right below it, I would have Texas Tech, Baylor, in Arizona, but we'll see how that shapes out. And speaking of Arizona, they had to fight off a pesky UCF team at the McHale Center. Arizona was able to win that game 88-80, and Caleb Love was the leading scorer for the Wildcats with 16 points. Yeah, what UCF, they respond after getting blasted in their arena by Kansas. They come out and they actually look pretty good against a much better Arizona squad.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that you can say about this thing, you have to be prepared to play. You have to be prepared to play every single night in this conference, or you can get beat. A lot of these teams, even the bottom teams, are pesky, and they can beat you. So, like, we gotta watch out for that. I wanted to, before we end the show, I wanted to look at some of the other national top 25 scores around the nation.
Mm-hmm.
There are some teams that got some huge wins yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at, I mean, look at Tennessee. Tennessee edges off Texas in Austin. What a win for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually watching this game from basically like start to finish because it was just like, I was flipping the channel between this and then Florida, Arkansas, which we can talk about a little later. But yeah, Texas was giving Tennessee a lot of fits in this game. I mean, Texas was forcing Tennessee into a lot of turnovers. The turnover disparity was 15-5. So Tennessee coughed up the ball quite a bit, which allowed Texas to stay in the game. Meanwhile, Texas, they were taking care of the basketball. They only had 5 turnovers on the day. There was like, but in the second half, Tennessee just, they put the clamps down. They forced Texas to take some difficult shots at the paint. And once Texas was not able to really convert on those tough shots at the paint, Tennessee was able to get their offense going and get them over the hump and then be able to hold on to the win. So there was a point where I think Texas was like 1 of 10 inside the paint. And that's just the defensive grit from the Tennessee Volunteers. And that allowed them to pick up a needed win to rebound. Because I think what was the Florida loss? Yeah. Yeah, to rebound from getting absolutely destroyed by Florida.
Yeah, so that was a great win for them. And then the Auburn Tigers pulled off a very pesky South Carolina team. And Johnny Broome, one of their top players, got hurt. But there was a report about 4 hours ago on ESPN that he won't need surgery on his knee. So it looks like a very, very bad ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so looking to see, I think Auburn, Johnny Broome was out for like a lot of that second half, and Jack Baker Mazzara stepped in and he took care of a lot of the production down to the paint for he made up for a lot of what would have been like Johnny Broome's production. So, Auburn just, they're definitely like looking like probably the best team in the country. I would, if I was voting on who would be like the number one team in the country, I would have to say Auburn. It's clearly Auburn with the way that they've been playing and then how tough they played even without one of their best players in Jahni Broome. There's no question I put the Auburn Tigers as the number one team in the country.
Definitely, man. They're still battle tested, and they're going to be one of those teams that are going to be there in the end. And then we had two top 15 matchups. First one, Alabama goes on the road to A&M and beats A&M in College Station 94-88. And then Kentucky goes on the road to Starkville and beats Mississippi State, number 14 Mississippi State, 95-90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just some great wins on the road for both Alabama and Kentucky, so that'll keep them in the race for the SEC. So it's great road wins. Then both of their leading scores for Alabama, you had Mark Sears leading the way for the Crimson Tide with 27 points, and for the Kentucky Wildcats, you had Jackson Robinson lead the team with 27 points. For Florida, yeah, so staying in the SEC for a couple matchups, still ranked matchups, you had number 8 Florida go on the road and take care of business in Fayetteville against the Arkansas Razorbacks, 71-63. So looks like they're continuing their momentum after beating Tennessee. They go on the road and they are able to take care of business and continue and cement themselves further as a top 10 team. And then you even had an upset inside of the SEC. Number 17 Oklahoma falls to Georgia at Georgia, 72-62, so a great win for Georgia. And Oklahoma, the early season hype? I think they're starting to learn more about SEC play, and they're realizing this may not be like this might be a little more difficult than maybe what they were expecting.
Yeah, man, started off 13-0, now they're 0-3 in conference play. They got to pick it up, man.
They mirror Cincinnati. They mirror Cincinnati so much. Yeah, rolling through their non-con and then getting shell-shocked in conference play.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Could be big, big trouble. And then another crazy upset. In Champaign, USC takes down Illinois 82-72.
Yeah, Desmond Claude led the way for the Trojans with 31 points. So quite a day for him to be in the 30s. Looking at the box score, that to break down that game a little bit, it was tied. No, it was close at halftime. Illinois was holding on to a 3-point lead at halftime, but the Trojans use their ability to score the ball from deep. Limiting Illinois' chances from deep, because in the second half, the second half score was 47-34, and the teams ended in very different areas when it came to 3-point shooting. USC ended at 35.7% shooting from three. Meanwhile, Illinois was held to 22% shooting from three.
Yeah, that was the key of the game. That was one of the things of the game, is that they weren't shooting well from three, and USC, they couldn't stop USC.
Yeah. Yeah, Illinois actually chucked up a lot of threes. They shot 32 threes, and they only connected on 7 of them. So they were putting up threes, so it has to be a mix of just 4 shots and quality shots, and I guess they just weren't falling for Illinois.
And one of their best players, I think, is injured right now. So I'm not making excuses for Illinois, but that was a factor in yesterday's loss.
And then some more like ranked matchups. UConn taking care of Georgetown, winning that game 68-60. So UConn is riding the ship. Gonzaga continuing to run rampant all over the West Coast Conference, but they're in a 2-horse race between them and St. Mary's, so that will be a very interesting league to look out for. Memphis squeaks out a win against East Carolina, winning that game 74-70. Miss going on the road and stomping out LSU 77-65. And then Utah State beating Boise State with a crazy 4-point play, winning that game 81-79. I don't know. Have you seen that crazy 4-point play?
I did not. I had to check it out.
Oh my goodness. Hold on. Let me see if I can find
that. Yeah, and also share the screen.
Utah State. Yeah, because I remember I saw it. It was just one of the craziest things. All right. So this will be. Yeah. So for those who have not seen it, and if you're watching the stream, I'm going to be showing the crazy 4-point play.
Oh, that is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Dude, look at the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. How about that?
That's insane.
Let me see, what was the name? Ian Martinez. Okay, yeah. Ian Martinez with that crazy four-point play. Now, this was, like, late, so I was probably, like, watching something else, watching a different game. I was probably watching football. So I was watching the Ravens-Steelers, so I didn't even see this. And then I look on Twitter, and all I see is trending on Twitter is this four-point play by Ian Martinez.
That's insane, man. Like, if you want to be a college basketball sicko, watch the Mountain West. Very, very entertaining basketball.
That's just mid-major madness. That's what we love mid-major madness for. That's a great thing, honestly. Mid-majors are just part of the heart and soul for basketball because they always can find some fun things. And Utah State is clearly looking like they're going to be the top dog in the Mountain West. So very fun. Sure. Yeah, so I guess I guess that's pretty much it for like the recaps. I'm just trying to see if there's any other games that they're going to become this week that might be of interest. The SEC continues to have some top 10 matchups on Tuesday. Mississippi State will travel to Auburn. Ole Miss will travel to Alabama. Texas A&M will travel to Kentucky. So that will be on Tuesday. Obviously, we mentioned Iowa State hosting Kansas on Wednesday. That's going to be the main game. The main game for Wednesday. Yeah, that's pretty much look out for us.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for this Texas Tech Reaction Show. You can join us on Tuesday afternoon, or we'll say Tuesday evening, when we do our KU preview show. And you can find us here on the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We can be found personally on Twitter at me, Tyler, at SciTechGuy, Cody, at Matt Campbell Impersonator. We can be found on our five forms of social media. Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV. Five forms are /Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Celelum.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones.
Let's go State.